Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals are so comfy, all you'll have to worry about is how you're going to personalize them. Choose your favorite classic clog, sandal, or slide. Then load them up with your favorite Jibbitz charms to create a truly one-in-a-million pair. Experience all-day comfort you can make totally your own at Crocs.com. That's C-R-O-C-S.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a bonus episode of There Will Be Dungeons, this one for January and early February 2020. Yeah, that's the year. Scott Johnson with the whole crew. We're all here. Kyle, Kristen, Bo, John, to answer your questions and to provide for you, our supporters, a bonus show. If you're getting this and you're not a supporter, well, you had to wait a whole week to get it. Wouldn't you like to get it on time? Support us at therewillbedungeons.com. All right. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it. About 30 minutes or so of Q&A, and we throw it to Kristen, who has a big list of questions. Kristen, take it away.
All right. Time to start now. We're going to actually kick off with some emails. We had some great questions and comments coming in. So first one is from Caden, and it says, I'm about to start my first D&D encounter at my middle school club. Any ideas to help me roleplay a good character in general? Keep up the good work, Caden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she should answer this one.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, these guys don't even know about the... So I have another character that's at the ready in case Nash ever bites it. His name is Hack Lohman. And I find it incredibly fun to roll new characters, despite my only doing this about 5 or 6 times my entire life. Or I've made a character in D&D, and much of that was many, many years ago. But I like the process because, for me, it's just as much about the tone and the personality of the character I'm creating as it is any of the stats. In fact, if anything, it's more. It's just more fun to like think about this person and what they're going to be like and how they're going to behave and you know, what their strengths are going to be. What are they going to sound like? If you're going to do any kind of RP in your stuff, are you going to make him gruff and angry? You're going to make him happy-go-lucky? Or, you know, where are you going to be in the characterization plane? And that's fun. So I would look at it in that, from that regard. Don't get too wound up in, are these the perfect stats? Because you can always make a new character, you know, like even if you totally screw up. And there's stuff with Nash that's screwed up. There's no question about it. Like numbers, in the numbers, there's things I should have done. But I'm completely 100% happy with the character. And I think you want that before because the numbers are just numbers and it's really not that big a deal. And depending on how lenient your DM is, maybe you can, you know, tweak some of that before you get cranking or as you get in a little while and find out you're super underpowered and something you needed, maybe there's some wiggle room. But regardless of how he runs your game, you just want to love the dude you make or the lady you make. And that's the fun part. So I would just focus on that and then, you know, build the stats around him.
Yeah, jumping off that, I know comedy is really important for me, but at the same time, don't build a character you're going to try and force laughs with. Right. Because comedy naturally happens when you run into weird situations. And as long as you're playing the character to what the character would do, have fun with it. As long as it makes you laugh. That's really
I agree.
All that matters.
And I think what'll happen is you'll surprise yourself. Like when I started with Nash, my goal with him was he was going to be super serious and very self-serious all the time. And the fun and the funny would come out in just interactions with other players. And that turned out still to be true. But he's just kind of a mess now. And you may find that, right? Like, don't expect going in with exactly what you have in mind and then be disappointed when something takes a turn or you realize you got to settle in a different way. The way I look at it is, like, go watch the first season of The Simpsons or go watch... Actually, the first season of any show where there's voice actors instead of live actors, they tend to be wildly different later on. And Homer sounds so different. And, you know, Mr. Burns sounds completely different. And that kind of stuff is fun to watch in retrospect. But at the time, you didn't really notice it. So you know, it just kind of happened over time. I think that's just natural. And it will totally happen to your character. It certainly happens to mine. And also depends on the other relationships on the team. Like doing stuff with John and Stanley or even the bird. Nowhere or nothing. Nowhere. Creates such a fun like bounce back and forth that also helps inform you kind of where your character is going to go. So yeah, for me, you don't go in there planning to be funny or serious or impressive. You just go in hoping that you can, you know, see your dude evolve and turn into something that's more than just the numbers on a page.
Yeah, going into the DM section of this, Dakota writes, I was curious if Bo would be willing to give any advice. He's an amazing DM and has a great grasp of when to interfere and when to allow the players to succeed or fail. And also going further on this, that, you know, maybe other people in the group might have thoughts on too. One of my main questions is about player DM. Is this doable? I've wondered about being an almost Gandalf-style player while DMing, but unsure if it's smart or would be too complicated as a first-time DM.
Player DM. You mean playing a character in addition to being the DM?
Yes.
Yeah, I would recommend against that. Even if you felt that you could, your bias is so great that it would be hard to remain impartial or be obviously impartial, I think, to your own creation. And then you just sort of run into the problem of, I mean, how much time are you giving it over other players in the game, right? Like, that much time focused on your own creation is that much time not spent on entertaining everyone else at the table. So I would say just don't do it personally, not to be super down on it. Cause I get the appeal. It's very tempting.
What if there's a way, is there like an accepted method though? Like, does anyone do this and then says, oh yeah, being a no. DM and a player totally works if you do this one way of playing or something.
It can be done. I would strongly argue against it. There's just no need for it. Right. I mean, there's a world full of players and very few DMs. Mm-hmm. And if you really need to be a player, you should try and be a player. I just think that the way D&D works is a lot of it is in your head. It's not like a rule set where you can ensure a lack of bias and an efficient use of your mental energy spent on everything evenly, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Just, yeah.
Do you think there's a sense for people who want to be a DM that the reason they don't choose it is they feel like they're missing out because the player is where it's at? I'm not saying that's a foregone conclusion, but do you think
so? I know a lot of people who would love to DM, but it requires even the smallest amounts of work and knowledge, so that's never happening. I know plenty of people who would love to DM that still haven't after a decade because they just don't crack open a book and start doing it. Like, you have to be, you are a motivated individual if you decide to become a DM. That's, you know, a lot of people wish for that, but if you actually take those steps, it's different. So, yeah, I mean, you can encourage someone in your playgroup to take a turn DMing. I know John has done it a couple of times here, and that's great. If you have someone who'll do that, that's your best way of getting a chance to be a player.
Speaking of, Joseph wrote in, I love this show and have never played before and have three friends that haven't played, but we all have an interest. How should we start, and is it difficult to jump into being a DM?
So you should start by figuring out who among you is best suited to be the DM. Someone who wants to do it. If none of you want to do it, you're not playing D&D. You'll have to find someone else to do that for you. So usually it's whoever resolves first in a group like that. So maybe you'll get lucky enough and one of you, maybe it'll be you, maybe it'll be someone else, decides to take up that mantle. Is it hard? It's not hard. But it does require, you know, you have to know the rules. You have to sit and read books. You have to work on it. And you'll be doing more. The players just get to show up and have fun. And maybe their character sheets are a little more inaccurate. So you do, you know, you don't have to be a dictator. You don't have to be really deep into the OCD level of controlling everything. But you do, you are an initiator or a leader of a group in that way. So you do have to be prepared to take that on a little. I don't know if that answers the question very well. But,
I think it does. John, did you have any?
Not hard.
I think for me, the big thing is just dive into it. You know, it was something that I had an interest in. If you even have a little bit of interest in, but your assumption is just like, oh, I would be new, so I don't want to do it. Just dive in. You know, you're there to have fun with friends, and you will have fun. Like, no matter what, you will have fun. It wasn't a D&D situation, but one time a bunch of friends and I bought a card game. We had no idea how to play. We didn't know what we were doing, but we just kind of did a glance through the rules. We played it completely wrong. We didn't follow any of those rules correctly, but guess what? We all had a good time. And that's what you'll have with your friends, as long as everybody's kind of on board and ready to go along with it. So my advice would be to just jump in.
Awesome. And then Kyle, the final DM of the group, I know you're handling chunks at the moment, but do you have any advice?
Yes. Be brave. You just have to go for it. Believe in yourself.
Believe also, in yourself. Be brave.
Also, we'll do a quick plug. Kyle does a show, a solo show called DM Gives Inspiration. You should check that out as well. He's busy with a baby at the moment, but he's got lots of great answers on that show.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up real quick, Bo. How come we've been pretty short on inspiration granting lately? Have we all been that bad or just...
Well, no. If you bring the level of quality is so high that, you know...
Look at that.
Well, sports was a pretty...
Inspired all the time.
Uh-huh. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but if there's been a drought of inspiration, I'll make a note of it.
Okay. Not saying, you know, you should do you and give us whatever we
deserve. I am inspired by all four of you every week. So
that's nice.
Look at that.
It's hard. There's no point where I'm like, oh yeah, I need to encourage them with inspiration. I mean, keep in mind, inspiration is a tool, and there's some new DM questions in here. If you have reticent players or players, you know, that are difficult in some way, to help reward them for playing correctly. Mm-hmm. That sounds bad. Not correctly, but...
yeah, it does.
No, not correctly. That's the wrong word. But yeah. Not even playing how you want them to play, but just encouraging them, like if they have a shell, when they break out of their shell, you know, because not all players are social dynamos. Some of them are in their shell or awkward, or so when they go out of that comfort zone, that's an opportunity to encourage that. I don't really have that problem. I'm very blessed here, so... Yeah.
My reward, more than inspiration, is anytime Bo says to me, like, oh, that actually scared me, or oh, I feel intimidated.
Yeah.
That's my true inspiration, is anytime I get a genuine reaction out of Bo.
Yeah, I like that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of inspiration, any big plans for the 100th episode? It is coming up soon.
It is. We're at 91 tonight. So we are 9 episodes away from that, which I guess is 9 weeks in theory. And
wow, those are some awesome plans.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the great part, is that I don't know that we've really given a lot of thought to that, but what would we, I mean, no, do we even want to do anything?
I don't
for
think it can even really be done. All it would take is for episode 99 us to go, what if we shopped instead? And that's the end of Bo's plans.
Yeah. Like, I don't think content wise we'd wedge in anything. Like, it'd be a continuation of the show, wherever that is. There's no, you know what I mean? The 100th episode monster flies from the sky and decides to kill you all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sure we'll...
Well, I understand that the desire for eventy kind of things when you reach milestones. Like, that's the thing you see a lot in video games and in podcasts. Everybody's like, oh, what are we doing for 100? Like, it's always the thing. Or what am I going to do for 500 of FilmSack coming up? Or... 2,000 of
Scott, you how many 100 episodes have you been on different shows?
Way too many, probably 10 or 11. Yeah.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like your first show, it gets to 100, it's a big deal. Yeah. When it's show number 14, it's like, all right, you know.
That's kind of where I was heading with that.
I hate to be negative Nancy and just be like, we're doing nothing. What kind of a question is that?
Yeah,
but
no.
At the same time, we're just like, we just keep doing what we do good every week, and that's...
Yep. Yeah,
I don't know.
That's basically it.
We'll mention it.
And like, you know, hey, well done, everybody. And here's the 100 more and all that. But the actual content of the show will stick to why people listen to us in the first place or watch it in the first place, I think. Yeah. I've gotten that way. Generally, that's my attitude on any hitting milestones.
But
on shows
if our listeners have any ideas, I'll gladly hear them, because maybe there is something fun we can do.
Yeah, totally possible.
So send them to me.
Yeah, to Bo. Go to Bo. Your
go to DM. Go to the DM questions on our Discord, mm-hmm. on the Frog Pants Discord. Mm-hmm. Go to DM questions and put your information there.
Yeah, and he'll get with you.
Or DM me on Twitter.
Yeah, do you have open DMs on Twitter?
I do.
Oh, look at that open DM with an open DM.
Yeah, I'm the openest DM there ever was.
You're like Nash's crouch on a sunny day. That's amazing.
I'll take your There Will Be Dungeons questions. I'll take your suggestions, and I also accept requests from bots who try to get me to go on dates with them.
Send nudes. Oh, wait, don't send nudes.
Are there any NPCs based on real people or friends as an inside joke or nod to anyone? I think I'm starting to notice there are some Easter eggs for listeners embedded in the story and little shout outs here and there.
Not that I can think of.
I mean, you had the Frog Pants podcast reference that one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty obvious.
There was the podcast. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, podcasting was fishing in the desert. Everything.
The Mind Master was definitely inspired by Bo watching episode one recently.
Oh yeah, no. Things like that come up all the time, and I would love to transition to that because it's kind of the same question. But Bo, how often as DM do you get inspired by something like you're watching The Expanse for the first time, or you just watched the end of something and you love a little twist they did? How tempted are you every time to say, "I'm just going to put a little juice in the show from that"?
It's mainly voices, honestly, because I'm not a voice actor. I have a limited range, as we've established very early on. I'm not brilliant at much of any of it. So if I see something awesome in a movie or TV show, I might start, copying it and trying it out. So it's not that I wanted to make Newt Gunray a character, but it's just like, I like, what was that race called?
Johnny, no.
The Nemoidians.
Oh.
Yeah, the Nemoidians have a very distinct way of speaking.
Yeah, they do.
Is that legal, my lord? I don't know. So I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. I can do something like that. So anything I watch, I'm always looking for something I think I can do that's unique. And
How different would have Lizard Folk Land been if you hadn't been watching Game of Thrones that week?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question.
I don't know. I still would have had families. I don't think it would have been that different. I just think maybe the names of the NPCs wouldn't have been so on the nose with certain characters. Mm-hmm. Because I always, Orp has nothing to do with Game of Thrones, right? And so this whole power structure beneath him would be there in some form. I just thought it would be fun to nod Game of Thrones in that way. And that Varel would hate it too, so.
That's what made it work, though.
Yeah.
But we've got Omnom, and Omnom is not a Game of Thrones-inspired character in any way.
No, and we all love him. And then a question for everyone. If you decided you wanted to retire a character you were playing to try something else, would you rather they die valiantly during a fight or just quit adventuring with the group?
I think we know the answer for Stanley. Sigil.
No, not necessarily. I felt it was worth exploring anyway. That wasn't the question.
You can still explore it. That was intense.
And that was a great exploration, by the way.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
So I hope the best for Stanley. I want Stanley to get whatever it is he wants. I don't know if he even knows what he wants, but I want him to get it. I want him to succeed. But if he's gonna die, I hope it's valiantly. I think we wish the best for our characters. We're invested. We want to see good things.
That's true. I don't wish Nash dead ever, but when I thought maybe he was going to die, along with Stanley and Hope, because there seemed like there was going to be a real chance of that. Or they did die, I guess we brought him back through means, but, I was ready to, step in with a new dude. And I'm still ready to do that, and I'll be ready if that dude ever comes, and then that guy ever gets killed. Like, I want to be. I like that feeling of being ready.
You want Nash to retire or to die in a blaze of glory?
Oh, he's never going to retire. It'll be like
so. It'll be a blaze of glory.
It'll be some kind of blaze of glory, or if it's not glorious, it'll be a huge dumb thing, bad mistake he made,
stomach like getting virus. A disease from an umbrella.
You get chopped in half, one side of the portal and the other.
Yeah, something dumb like that is going to end him, and then Hack Loman comes in.
So you go out in a blaze of solar energy.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea. When he'll die having never told the story of how the solar mines finally got him to wise up and get out of
you
there.
You know, I'm ready, Scott, by the way.
I know you are. I mean,
I'm ready to go to the solar mines.
You're ready to go? Yeah, but I don't want it to be about me. I don't want the thing to be about me. You know,
everyone gets an arc, Scott.
I know.
We all have a city, man. Like, you gotta get ready.
Yeah, how we level.
I know, but I had my thing. I had the dragon heart and all that.
I know your parentage.
Yeah, you do.
He knows your parents, man.
I don't know what he does, because Nash never knew his parents, but Bo's got all that.
It's figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll slip you some notes about Slow Peters and how everything kind of went to shit and how I had to kill everybody. And yeah, we'll get to all that.
And how the solar energy is harnessed when the sun is no longer present in the sky.
Yeah, which is really at the crux of the humanitarian crisis. Hey,
it was a micro sun. You made a micro sun.
Kind of. We built our own. We built a horrible thing and we paid a very dear price for it. And I shouldn't say we, because we were forced to, but the powers that be did, and they paid for it in blood.
Master Belt Notch.
Yeah, Master Belt Notch and his ilk. I'll get you more on that.
Then Varel, I can assume we're going down in a blaze of glory.
Yes, but I had to make an off character back in the main Mind Flayer bit just so I could be okay with
it. Wait, what?
Like, I sat down one night and was like, okay, like, fake funeral for Varel. If he goes, I need a backup so I'm okay with this. Because otherwise, Varel is like, oh my God, I love him so much. I would be devastated. Yeah. And now I won't be so much, because my next guy would be...
No, that's a great idea. That's kind of what I did with Hack. It was like, as long as I know I've got
any relation to Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman?
No.
Okay.
I like the name Loman because it sounds like low man, and he's
I like kinda, it too. I just, it rings a Death of a Salesman bell.
What's weird is you'd think I would start experimenting a little bit with other races and stuff, but he's also human. There's something I like about, it's your world is why, because I don't mind in other scenarios or in other games, D&D or otherwise, I'd rather mess around with other races. And I did that with John's thing. But in your case, because you've set it in this apocalyptic future of our potential planet, I don't know.
You represent humanity.
Yeah, there's something the about
best,
that.
The best and worst parts of humanity.
Keeps driving me to do that for some reason, but yeah.
Well, Kristen, Blaze of Glory or...
Well, Blaze of Glory definitely, but Hope still believes she's not going to die.
Wow.
So you know, Squirts was fun, but Squirts was had to be so vastly different because Hope was going to come back. There was no doubt in my mind. There was no mourning of Hope.
Wow.
That's great. I love.
Very, very confident in Varel and Nash. I don't think Stanley felt that.
Nope.
I don't know, but Varel and Nash were so to the point and get stuff done that, what, 5 days? Took five days. That's a record.
Won a competition even in 5 days.
Yeah.
Got money, base of operations, res the two dead characters. Now we're ready to go.
Yep. Ready to rock.
Or Bo or Kyle, do you think we will ever explore more of the story of Grosjil, or is that something Varel would find interest in learning?
I'm all for it. I think that's, I mean, we revealed the most badass power ever, that I could transform the shield into a flaming sword, and I lost it that day. Like, there's so much more there, and I'm half the reason why we looked for weapons today is to open up the door to looking for Grosjil's
artifact may return. In terms of Grosjil's lore, I mean, Kyle keeps scratching at it. That may reveal more, but a part of me does like this idea of a legend, that everything seems as plausibly fake, but also plausibly true, that he's a god killer.
Hmm.
I like things surrounded in mystery.
Yeah, until the big reveal, right? Because then you have something.
Well, I don't know. Well, in some cases, it depends on Kyle and how he keeps digging.
In some cases, a lot of cases, I love a story where you don't get any sort of reveal, or at least the world building part of it just sort of stays mysterious, because you get in trouble when you start having Niles and Daphne get together on Frasier, right? You got to have that distance that
you lose half the audience.
You do. By the end of that show, we were all like, oh, well, that's no fun now that they're together. The half the fun was they would never get together, and we wondered if they ever would. And now, you know, there's an answer, and that's no fun. So for me, it's like, you know, I don't want to know too much about the bullet farmer in Mad Max. I don't want to know too much about Gastown and who runs it. I don't need too much background on a lot of those things in that movie. Part of why I love it so much is because the basics are there, and they're intriguing basics, and it's enough for my imagination to spark and then go off in some direction and just fill in the blanks. And I love that feeling. I love doing that. So part of me teasing around the solar mines is that it's me being kind of an a-hole about it, because I know enough structure to know what I want there, but part of me is like, yeah, leave it weird and hanging, and only drop little bombs like, oh yeah, the Slow Peters. What? Slow Peters? And then you guys, you know, everybody's thinking, what the hell are those? Oh, that's interesting. And they start making up stuff in their own head. That's a cool thing in storytelling. So I don't
know. Wouldn't it be funny if the Solar Mines was a film school and had a college degree in filmmaking, and that he's tailoring his backstory to like the movies instead of, you know, what actually happened?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
It's funny.
There's your new idea. Done.
Cut it. That's a wrap. Yep. All right. For the competition for the M fighting, did the party have an idea for an alternative trick to play on Kanja if Pharrell hadn't beaten him?
I will go first because my answer is the easiest. No, because nothing couldn't come up with an idea like that. She could only execute an idea someone else had.
I don't know.
What now, anyone else? There's another question in here. Well, there's this little silence here. Did you feel stifled at all, John, doing that?
Oh, it was hard for me, definitely, because it's so counter to how I would want to play. But it was a very fun experience to try something different, to get in there and be something new. It was probably the wrong character for the situation we ended up finding ourselves in, but I had a very good time.
Yeah, I wondered how that felt while you were doing it, because I just kept thinking, man, I don't know if I could do this. This is like intensely limiting what John can say. And you ended up doing it really good.
I will say this. I liked it because it was Stanley can be very dominating, and it was a chance to have a character that was the exact opposite and get to just enjoy watching other people take over that role. Like, that's not a role that Varel's used to and familiar with, and it was just a joy getting to see him do that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that character, much as I ripped. So did
Varel or Nash have a plan?
Oh hell no, I had no plan for any of it.
I was gonna pants him.
Awesome, dang it! Now I want to see how that would have gone. But yeah, I don't have any. I had no plan at all how I was gonna help trick anybody to do
it. It was kind of a weird couple of episodes, right? It really shied away from being D&D and became this other weird thing.
Well, plus remember, I had zero magic then. I was after keys then. I was a heart floating around then. Like, I felt like I couldn't do much to help with any of the tricks or any of that. We had to rely on the little trash monkey.
Oh, I love that trash monkey.
I do too.
Going back, let's see, for Nash/Bo, I know it was touched on briefly that Nash may have had an elf baby, half elf baby, but I was wondering, Nash has a dragon metal heart and the blood and DNA of a dragon pumping through his veins, and it was the dragon metal heart that resonated with Angelashi and gave her the plant powers, apparently, ellipses. Is there a chance that this child comes out a dragonborn/half elf weird hybrid?
Oh man. Bo, am I going to go home and find that or what?
Can't reveal game information.
Damn it. Oh man. He's gonna be like that. Do you guys ever see the original V and they had that baby and it was like a lizard baby? Oh, I'm scared now. I'm scared.
John, I've always wondered what was going on with Diantalis during the 3 months break after you guys saved Tiet Kella. Was it a John decision that he didn't show up, or was there more going on in the background?
It was my decision, and Diantalis, one of his big things to Stanley was definitely a, like, this world that you're fighting so hard to do good in and be a good person in is never going to give that back to you. It's just going to continue to take things from you. And even if you think you've won, you haven't. And so when Stanley, you know, had this big victory and it was like, we've done it, to Dian Talis, it was just, all right, well, let me just sit back and watch what I told him would happen happen. So it was 3 months of Dian Talis just waiting for the other shoe to drop, essentially. Now, we got rid of Dian Talis before he got a chance to say, told you so, but there would have been a big told you so. So, yeah, I think his quiet speaks volumes. I think Stanley still remembers it. I think he still probably hears that to some degree, that, like, this is what you got for not listening to me. You know, you got killed.
Wow. Dark,
dark,
dark, man.
Yeah.
Dark man.
Question for Bo. I know you were only able to do 3 of the characters for the M Sports Fighting League, but did you have any half-formed ideas of other catchphrases for characters that weren't finished?
Oh, yeah.
And can we hear them?
I had 16, and you can hear them. I just got to get to it, so it'll just be a moment. But, sorry, I'm loading it up here. There's a lot more. I do plan to make the content available in the DM box
so nice.
That you can see it more once that's ready. Where is it all? Big Time Smackin' Brothers. Okay, so we had let's see if there's anything for Archibald here. So Archibald serves his master, Lord Abaddon, Prince of the Apocalypse, Lord of the 666th Layer of the Abyss, diligently and without question. Whether it's raising the souls of entire worlds or engaging the very best warriors in the M-fighting competition, Archibald rends flesh for his master with great zeal. And one of his lines are, "In the end, the maelstrom will devour all of creation."
Wow.
And then he also says, "Empty your mind." And his other catchphrase is, "Surrender to nothingness."
Oh my gosh. I swear you wrote all that stuff for like, all those crappy fighting games. I swear, you're the guy. It's amazing.
Spot on.
They're all perfect. They don't sound. You could tell me, is it this? Did I make this up, or was it in a fighting game? One of those contests? I'd get it all wrong because they're all good.
They're not all good.
They're all great.
Scrumptious.
Yeah.
There's a character Scrumptious who's an Eric Cockra, who's a chef. I didn't write his write up yet, but he's a chef. He's the Laughing Fowl. And he says things like, "Delicious crack," and "That's some good cooking."
Nope, same. Still on. Still good.
Yeah. That would have been the pro.
Yeah, still good. Still nailed it.
You know, we had our arrogant elf character in there. Fochirolas. Fochirolas, the body of graces. Mm-hmm. And basically he's a fencer, but he's also a high elf.
Yeah.
And he says, "You call that fighting?" And then he goes, "Mind your manners, savage." And then he shouts out when he does elegant riposte, he goes, "Elegant riposte! Elegant riposte!
And Parry! When they all Parry! Lose, when they lose, do they go, like that thing you did that one time?
Oh,
I love that. So good.
Anyways, I wrote, it helps characterize them getting those quotes, right?
It is. It also helped us to hear all that because it got us to the end of our...
Wait, thing. I got one more.
Oh, what do you got?
It's you know, it's Buster Balls McBuster.
Give it.
Yes.
Yeah. Now who stole my drink? That's all I said.
That's it?
That's the only line.
Did you play a lot of fighting games in the day? You must have, because these are...
Back
like...
in the day, everyone played Street Fighter and Tekken to some extent, right? Play a lot of Tekken 3.
Yeah. You guys should play the Tekken 7 single-player story. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, all Tekkens are bad, dude.
Yeah. It's great, though. It's kind of great, but terrible. Anyway, on that note, thank you all for listening. We look forward to another month and another bonus show, which we'll do sometime near the end of February. We hope that you enjoyed this one. I know we did. And keep those questions coming. There will be dungeons.com. If you didn't hear yours asked today, don't worry. We keep them in kind of a pile, and we'll get to everything. That is a meaningful question for the show. I guess we can't promise every one of them, but we'll do our best. It's going to do it for us, for Mika, for Kyle, for Kristen, for Chunks, for John, for Bo, and for all of you. See you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I mean, I'm ready to go to the solar mine.